Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 307 for July 5th, 2017. New gear and superstations. Hey, good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night. It's actually like 22 minutes past the hour. We're a little bit late. And if you were watching the live stream before the show, you got to see 20 minutes of George trying to find the on switch to the microphone and Brian putting my face and mouth on various things. That didn't sound right. Well, you missed it if you didn't. If you're not watching live, you missed it. And that's a good reason why you should watch the show live on Wednesday nights, because we have fun. And now, quite frankly, I'm exhausted. So good night, everybody. No, really, we got a big show for you tonight. Bob Heil is not here. He's the smart one of the bunch. He decided to take the night off, and he's left the inmates in charge of the asylum. So let's go around the horn and see who we've got. We have, just to my north, we have with a special guest, George, W5JDX, special guest in shack tonight, Mr. ICOM himself. Hello, George and Ray.
Hello, Don. Good to be here tonight. I think I'll have to double check and make sure that I made it. But we almost didn't see you there with that shirt on. I mean, it was like almost a blank screen there for a moment. Ray, how have you been?
Blank screen, blank looks, all in the same. Doing well, making my way across country, and come down here to play with a couple new radios with you and Tommy later this week. And thank you for inviting me to come over.
Well, you're welcome. It's good to have you here. Good to see you again. We don't get to visit with you as much, so we'll be back a little later in the show and hang out some.
All right.
And Ray has a really nice new RV because he's moving to Texas, if you haven't heard. And I love the nickname for the RV, the QRV. Is that what I saw on Facebook? You're calling it the QRV?
I don't know who came up with that one, but I don't think so.
I thought I saw that.
Various names. I have heard various names called of it. Some by the people trying to pass us going up long hills and then a few other ones.
Been there and done that. We went to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and we had a 29-foot Class C, and we went up to the observation tower. The sign said, no vehicles over 30 feet. I looked at my wife, and I said, we're 29. We're going, and we did. So, those are fun. Well, drive safe, and welcome back down to the South. I know you're a lot closer to home down here in Texas, so welcome back. We'll check back with George and Ray here in a little bit. Somebody else who is because Ray is a visitor in George's shack tonight. Val is a visitor in someone else's shack. So, Val, how are you tonight?
Good, good. Yeah, I'm out on my world tour here at K9 CT place. Craig Thompson, a big-time de-expeditioner and a contester, and we are at a world-class contesting station. And we're going to be talking about station automation, among a bunch of other things. So we're going to be on a little later in the show, so hope you stay tuned for that. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about here.
Good deal. Craig, good to have you on the show tonight. We'll be back with you guys here in just a little bit. We covered a story on Amateur Radio Newsline, or Will, if we haven't yet, about the Hamfesters Radio Club. They're having a Hamfest coming up in August. It's their 83rd annual. So if you're up in the Chicagoland area at Piatone, you want to check this out, because that's going to be just a lot of fun. The Hamfesters Radio Club, 83rd annual Hamfest. Wow, that's longevity. And I've got a little bit of news that I'll share with you here before we go over to Gordon at Costa Mesa. I will be the invited guest at the Oklahoma City Ham Fest coming up. The weekend of it's July 21st and 22nd, Friday and Saturday night. I'll be speaking at the banquet and hanging around Saturday at the Ham Fest. So if you're going to be in Oklahoma City, come by and say hi. I would love to meet you. It's going home for me because I'm an Oklahoma City native, and they were kind enough to invite me and make it possible for me to be there. And so thank you all to the folks at the Oklahoma City Ham Fest, Ham Holiday. Ham Holiday. Brian, go ahead and throw that website up real quick, and then we'll go over and see what Gordon's got to say. But hamholiday.com is the website if you want to check it out. It's they're in a brand new venue this year. There it is. Really nice hotel. And if you go down where it says Friday Banquet, you'll see the information there where they've had a lapse in judgment, and they're bringing me in. So there you go. Hamholiday.com. Go and check them out and come by and say hi. It's going to be so nice to be back in the Sooner State. It's been several years since we were there, and I cannot wait. So, very good. And, Gordon, something you have been instrumental in providing some materials and well wishes for the boy. The boy will be testing for technician coming up on the 15th at the Slidell Louisiana Ham Fest. So, looking forward to Tyler joining the ranks of the hams, and he's already picked out a vanity call. So there you go. Gordon, thanks for your help and support with that. And what's going on in Costa Mesa tonight, my friend?
Well, all is well. We had a super July 4th last night. It was like the entire city was lit up, and a lot of aerial fireworks, much beyond what the fire marshal would permit, but they were all over the sky. So all is well at this end. Back to you, Don.
Good deal. Well, why don't you go ahead and jump right into your short shots and let us know what's going on in the world of ham radio in Gordo's world.
Roger that. And following up, a week after your Oklahoma Ham Fest get-together, the Central States VHF Society is holding their conference out here in Albuquerque on July 27, 28, 29, and 30. And I know all you HFDXers go, you know, DX on VHF. Well, we're going to talk about what happened last Friday, but the weekend before, the Hawaiian Beacon was in. So let's take a look and see what happens beyond just tropospheric ductane. There's our letter C. Well, it's up about 100 kilometers, and that is our E layer. And the D layer is at night. The D layer is during the day and disappears at night, the D layer. The E layer is eccentric, and the furthest up are the F1 and F2 layers. Now, you can't see the ionospheric layers, but there are some folks, especially VHFers, that say we can see when we're going to have some E skip, sporadic E. So let's take a look and see what sporadic E. First of all, it occurs about 100 kilometers up, and it's always occurring in July and August and sometimes in June. Well, let me tell you, last Friday, it hit big time, the very first of July. Big time activity with sporadic E. Oh, yeah. There's also some sporadic E around the winter time as well. That's the letter C. It's up in the E layer where sporadic E clouds will form. And these E clouds contain ions. They contain metal ions, iron, magnesium, sodium, and calcium. And they're up there at about 100 kilometers. And many times they'll rise up and come in as a group. Well, we had a group this past Friday. And let me tell you, what a deal. And it was all happening thanks to a sporadic E cloud that most affects 10 meters, 6 meters, 2 meters, 220, even as high as 432. Very rarely, but yes. So the E layer is where all the excitement is for VHF and UHF. Not the weather layer. Right here, you're taking a look at the weather layer. And while there are some that say you can get some enhancement of 2 meters and 220, 432, at an approaching weather storm, especially in the Midwest and back east, the rest of the time, weather really does not affect VHF and UHF propagation. Well, sometimes lightning may give us some brief opening. Sometimes huge thunderclouds will give us a bounce on 10 gigahertz. But normally, it's not the visual weather that's going to give us the fireworks in June and July, thanks to sporadic heat. So let's take a look and see what's happening. Well, a thin sporadic E layer formed up over Colorado, right over Colorado border. And that sporadic E cloud stayed in place. And it was more than a cloud. Someone said it was a sporadic E major mass. Well, whatever we call it, it was there and it stayed in place. And what occurs is 10 meters and higher will begin to reflect, not refract, but reflect off that thin sporadic E cloud. And that cloud may only be 1 kilometer thick and only 3 to 5 kilometers long. And that cloud may take on different forms. Well, we knew something was happening last Friday when the 10-meter band began to look like this. Look at the spectrum scope, and you'll see there was signals just galore. 10 meters absolutely opened up. Well, that happens a lot. But we began listening, and we heard the band opening on 10 meters get shorter and shorter. And when the band openings get shorter, that means there's a likelihood that the 6-meter band, and maybe even higher, will begin to bounce off that sporadic E. Well, the 10-meter band was certainly going crazy, as you could see by some of the DX spots. I know Valerie would like that one. But up at 50.125, and this is on the ICOM 9100 that we worked all the fireworks last Friday. Ray, it was working great. I was hearing stations all over the place. 6 meters began to come in. And when 6 meters began to get shorter and shorter, as evidenced by this on Friday, we're not seeing coast to coast, but rather we're seeing double hop on 6 meters. So we began to listen intently on the 2-meter band. Now, who would think that we'd ever get skip on the 2-meter band? Well, skip normally occurs, sporadic E-skip, starting about 7 or 8 in the morning, peaks about 9 or 10, and then there's a peak about sundown. But this was like 2 in the afternoon. What in the world is going on? We have an FM receiver that has a pan adapter, and the FM band had not only the LA stations, but absolutely double and tripling with other stations on top of the local FM music band. I mean, things were going nuts. The UHF television band was acting very strange. All this happening this past Friday. And when we looked at the band scope, wow, look at all the signals. And that's a big mama signal right there. It is so important that you have a band scope on the rig that if you're looking for DX, you can just look at it, keep the volume all the way down, and you don't have to hear a thing. Although I do like the clear speaker because the clear speaker will go ahead and cancel a lot of that background white noise, the crackles. Well, we were listening and listening, and others with their receivers were looking at the pan adapter. And all of the major manufacturers now have great pan adapter receivers. And as we were looking and looking, all of a sudden we heard this come up on the air.
CQ, Whiskey 7, Tango, Delta, Zulu. Whiskey 7, Tango, Delta, Zulu. Whiskey 7, Tango, Delta, Zulu, Oregon.
That was Oregon pouring in, and we could not believe it on the 2-meter band. Oregon must have a huge antenna. Not a big antenna, just a 12-element Yagi. Wow, what a deal. So there was our first indication that the 2-meter band was about ready to open big time. Then later on, it got bigger and bigger. And thanks to Chip, K7JA. And here's Chip calling a call.
225, 225, W7, Mike Echo, Mike. Tango, Delta, Zulu, Oregon.
So here we have two stations coming in. One from Idaho and one from Oregon, W7MEM. And then finally, N0, Lima, Lima, that came back to this station.
777 Alpha, 777 Pan America, Delta Mike 03,
looking north. Well, Chip worked more stations than I did, but he's a great operator on CW as well. So the 2 meter band, as you can see there, was really hopping. One of the best contacts was double hop. That's where the signal goes up, bounces off a cloud, may come back down to Earth, or it may just go to the next cloud over. And where did the double hop end up? Wow, look at that. Pacific Northwest all the way down to Mississippi on 2 meters. And this is not just for a few seconds. This is for an hour on end. So sporadic E does not require a huge antenna like this, but it helps. The sporadic E from 6 meters can go up to 2 meters and even higher. The report has been 432 is the highest. So with these antennas, and Brian, you can come back to me, we were able to work some mighty good DX. So, wow, that is neat that we have these kind of conditions. So if you're a technician class operator and you go, I'm getting tired of FM and some of the digital work, hop on up to sporadic E. The Lycom 7300 with that band scope, and you will be rolling. So now let's check in, I believe, with George. And, George, you've got a very special guest. That's Ray at ICOM America. George?
Yeah, it's not a very special guest. It's just Ray.
He is special.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for that loving welcome here. My goodness.
Yeah, I should be better. He brought toys.
I was thinking about leaving them for a while, too, but don't know about that now.
Yeah. Well, we tried tying you up with that crime scene tape here. I think when we did a review of the 7300
is when we did that. That didn't work too
well. Didn't work. Nope. So Tommy's coming back tomorrow night. We're going to shoot some video of these two ratings here.
Right.
I've got a logging chain and a padlock, so maybe... You know, maybe we can keep one of these. Just tell us, what have you been up to? You've been on the road.
They've been keeping me busy with doing Lay Mobile. We had a great Dayton Hamvention. Two new radios that we were showing there being the ID4100, now the R8600, which, by the way, we've got to the shortwave station, so we get a nice look at the spectrum scopes that Gordo was talking about earlier. And hopefully... late August, September, we'll have the 7610 that Val thought this originally was earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing the 7610 when that gets out in the wild.
Yes, sir.
But, I mean, we're not going to get into detail on these radios tonight because we're going to shoot some detailed video of it, and I'll let you know where you can find it once it's been posted. Yes. But that is... it looks about the size of a 7300, but that's not just the receiver out of a 7300. There's a lot more in that box.
There is a lot more. It's a direct sampling HF through 6. Then there's a couple of down conversions to do VHF, UHF, and it goes all the way up to 3 gig.
Wow.
Whoa.
And we did just start shipping these last week, so I got to play with the prototype for a couple weeks back in March, but you got to touch it before I did, and I noticed there's drool stains all down the back of it.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it won't rust. No, it's a nice-looking radio, and it seems very familiar to me. You know, the way it operates is right along the path with the other ICOM rigs that I've used.
Very similar, but one of the real cool things about it is there's an Ethernet jack on the back of it, so you can have it remote somewhere and do IP control as well as the audio on it. So it's a very exciting radio for us.
Yeah, we're looking forward to learning more about that. You've been on the road. Do you have, you know, I didn't get the chance to look at your mobile. Haven't seen it yet because...
Well, it's right up the road, not too far from here.
Do you have a station in there yet?
I've got a 5100 on a dash. Did not get a chance before we had to leave to install the 7100 and the AH4. I do have a 7300 in there as well. Radio Waves was nice enough to send an antenna out. I was hoping to do field day in Petaluma. Sent Leo an email saying we're going to get there, but... the mountain range was just tough on a big bus.
Oh, and you are on a big bus. What kind of vehicle is that?
It is a Winnebago. It's 42,000 pounds, so we couldn't get on a Natchez Trace. The ultimate weight limit on it was 40,000.
Wow.
But we got to be careful where we go with it, not to crush any culverts or anything like that when we're going over driveways and not sink too deep.
Wow. So are you enjoying it?
I'm enjoying
it. On the road?
I'm enjoying it. My wife's not too much because we've had a few little episodes, but growing up in a body fender shop and mechanic shop allowed me to understand a lot of the things that goes on the bus. So we stopped in Tucson, Arizona, had some work planned, done to it. But we're trying to get out of there to get out here to see family for the 4th of July. And they forgot to tighten one of the solenoids for the hydraulic pumps.
Oops.
After about 2 quarts, spilled on the ground and cleaning all of that up, found out what had happened, and I had to do an infield repair. So,
wow.
But got it on the road and running. Really hasn't gone through the schedule that we really wanted to, but it's starting to shape up pretty good. If Dan's in the chat room, I'll be up in Oshkosh with him and the guys. I think I arrive up there on the 19th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
But doing sales calls here in Mississippi, down in Louisiana, going to catch a couple of ham dealers up in Wisconsin and Minnesota. So getting around and staying busy doing work. And then after Oshkosh, we head down to Dallas and start looking for a QTH.
Yeah, so you've just been mobile, well, for several weeks now, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
And, sounds interesting because I know you travel a lot anyway.
Oh, yeah. I'm gone usually 50% of the time traveling somewhere by airplane. Now I'm in a little bit more convenient area that the commute to get to the East Coast is a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2 to 4 hour flight, depending on where I'm going, where before it was just 4 hours to get to Dallas or to Chicago to change flights to get somewhere.
Yeah. So that's good. That put you in the center of the country, more or less. Biggest airport in the center of the United States. So I suspect you can fly anywhere there is to go from Dallas.
Yes, and it's also a real quick car drive to Picayune, Mississippi, to take care of that guy down there that he does a little trash talk every now and then.
Yeah,
that's right.
I know the guy.
Just around the corner. You can come down here and just jerk my chain right into submission. Anytime you want, buddy. You just come on, bring it. Bring it. Bring it. Bring it.
All right.
Bring a radio. Bring a radio when you come, okay?
Yeah, too bad you won't be at Slidell. That's coming up, a couple of weeks maybe.
Slidell, yeah, the 15th.
Shreveport?
Slidell, 15th. The 15th.
Slidell. Yeah, that's, okay.
Yep. Tyler's testing for his tech.
Up too.
Yeah.
Tyler's testing for his tech in Slidell.
Okay. I will have the cheap old man be on the lookout for his first rig, Don.
All right. Oh, he's getting one of the ID51s that I have. I have two 51s, so he's getting the black one that I have that I bought from our friends up in Paris, Texas, a couple of years ago.
He's only getting one radio, Don?
Well, he'll be a technician. He can operate 6 and 10 on this 7600 sitting here anytime
Sounds like
he wants.
Another cheap old man to me.
Well, I work for iHeart. I'm in radio. I have no money.
Well, I tell you what, let's get a quick message now. Speaking of money, let's pay a few bills here. Come back. We've got some stuff to give away. Let's talk about that. And then we'll visit a few more minutes and move on.
All right.
Start this year's contest season with ICOM. Heard it, worked it, logged it. The time is now to get your contesting equipment. Let ICOM help you make as many contacts as possible. Start off strong in the contesting this season with the IC7300. Ideal for the ham on the go, it's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with compact design, RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Use the IC7851 and get the most out of contest season. Raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver. reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, and digital voice recorder. The ICOM America Hamster Japan sweepstakes is coming to an end. There's still time to enter for a chance to win the grand prize, an unforgettable experience to attend the 2017 Tokyo Ham Fair. The drawing for the grand prize will take place July 17th, 2017. For more information on all ICOM radios and contests, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
Thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Ham Nation. You know, you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio, and also register to win some swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. We've got a winner. You know, the prize for June was going to be the ICOM IC718 HF transceiver, a great entry-level HF transceiver with big rig features. Our winner, Clark K5LGX. Congratulations, Clark. We know you're going to enjoy that. We've got another prize for July, and you want to go register for it because I've got one sitting right here on the bench tonight. It's the ICOM ID4100A dual-band transceiver. It's an entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features, built-in GPS receiver, full dot matrix display, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, available Android and iOS application, and of course it does both analog and D-Star operation, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. That's icomamerica.com/hamnation. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. But there's also a big contest that's about to come to a conclusion, right? Tell us
about
that.
Yes, sir. It's the Hams to Japan contest, and it's the grand prize winner gets a trip for two to the Tokyo Ham Fair. And if you haven't been to that show, it's spectacular.
I bet it is.
I mean, it's very club and ham oriented, where Dayton has a lot of the forums. They have the forums as well, but each of the different unique areas in ham radio, they each have a table to explain about what they do and the hobby. Wow. And that was the first time I went there, gave me a good idea that while we say ham radio is just a hobby, it's really 50 different hobbies just under one name.
Wow. That, in size, scope, how big would it be, say, compared to Dayton? Half the size physically?
Physically, it's smaller. It's all under one roof, but attendance-wise, it's much larger.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow. And as far as the toys, probably the best toys that you could
find. Where a lot of people show the new things, and if you see something new there from ICOM, if it's under glass, it's going to be 1 year.
Wow.
So we'll see a prototype that will be where no one can touch it, but then 1 year later, there's a good chance it'll be ready for people to pick up. So the 7610 was introduced there. So fingers crossed.
Okay. Sounds good. So how can they win? You know, you hadn't got long to register. You said the 17th is
17th is when they're going to be doing the drawing. It's icomamerica.com/H2JA for Hams to Japan.
Okay.
And just fill out that information on there to enter it, and it's going to be a random drawing.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of fun. So you're not going to chauffeur them, though. You're going to let them actually have fun.
They don't let me on the driver's side of the car.
Okay. Because it is a long drive.
It's on the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean drive them over there? No, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're looking forward to hearing who wins that and hearing back from them afterwards what they thought of the Tokyo Ham Fair.
All right.
That's got to be a great show to attend. Well, anything else we want to talk about? I know we're going to be back toward the end of the show here to answer a few questions, but anything you want to mention before we move on?
Not that I can think of, other than I think Tommy's going to beat you on your ID880 with the 4100 again.
Now, you know, Ray, this one, this one has colors, and it really, you know, I'm the one who likes the rigs with the colored display.
Okay. So you're grasping at straws there, because right now it's 1-1, but I think he's going to win this one.
Well, I mean, you know, that one's got, well, it looks a lot like ID888 that I got, but there's a lot more under the hood there.
Yes, it is.
Well, I got something I want to give away here, and well, I got two somethings I want to give away here. One, as a matter of fact, I've already given it away. Let me tell you who won this. I had asked a question. You know, Bob was talking about the preamp last week. He had built the preamp, put the filters in it. He wrapped up his coverage of the Pine Board preamp project.
Oh, cool.
You know, he's using a 12AX7 tube in there, and I asked the question, who developed that tube, and what year was it done? And I got a winner here. It's Dennis Mulliken, N6DGM. He said that the 12AX7 was developed by RCA, and it was released for sale in 1947.
It's before my birthday.
Mine, too. And, you know, that's probably one of the most popular tubes ever. I mean, it's still in a lot of guitar amps. All over the place.
Oh, good.
So they hit a home run with that one. Well, Dennis, congratulations. We're going to send you, or actually DX Engineering are going to be sending it to you, because I'm keeping mine. It's a DX Engineering Sport Bag. A great bag to, well, take to the Ham Fest. Do whatever you'd
take
like to.
Take to the bus with me.
I always carry it to the Ham Fest with me. No, Ray, that's not yours.
I think I can fit both those radios in that bag.
No, no. I'm not sure you can.
I was afraid you were going to give away the slightly used Gordon West General Class book, but I'm glad you didn't.
No, I'm going to give them a brand new one. This one is, well, this one's got some bent pages in it. And as much as I like to give away Gordo's books, you can also see there's a bunch of flags in here. Gordo flagged this copy especially for me to read questions out of to give away things on animation. And, well, this is a general class book. Gordo's General Class Amateur Radio Exam. It's from Master Publishing. W5YI has these. Any ham radio dealer is going to have this book here. It's really a great aid to use when you're studying for your general exam. By the way, Tommy and I on Ham College just started first episode on general this past episode. So we actually referred to Gordo and his book here on one of the answers we were unsure about, and he had the answer for it. Of course, we knew he would.
Yeah.
Well, here's this month's question, or actually this week's question. When sending CW, what does C mean when added to the RST report? Is it chirpy and unstable? Report was read from an S meter rather than estimated. 100% copy or key clicks? What do you think? If you add C to the end of a RST, what does that mean? If you think you know that, send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win one of these right here. It's a MFJ Guardian Angel Surge Suppressor. It's got a little gas tube in there. We've shown you these before. Put it in line with your coax. Hook a ground to it. You've seen these, haven't you, Ray?
Yes, sir, and pretty helpful for out here.
Oh, yeah. It helps keep down static discharges and such, drains them right onto ground because it'll jump across that gas gap in there. Protect your rig. They're available in a variety of different connectors. Well, this one has SO239s, but they've also got them with BNCs. There's different power levels of it. They're available. Oh, gee, it depends on the band you want to go, but I think up to legal limit. So a great little aid there to have to protect your radio, because, you know, that's an investment. So great little addition there. hamnationcontest@gmail.com. Send your answer to me. Tell me what putting C at the end of RST means. Well, now I think it's time. who are we going to throw it to? We're going to throw it to Don because we don't know what the news is. We're not sure he does, but we're about to find out.
Not really. But, you know, I told Tyler as a little bit of incentive to get his ham ticket, which he's testing for on the 15th. I was going to give him an ID 51. I mean, that's a very, very good first radio for any ham. But as a little bit of incentive to be careful with it, I told him that if he breaks it, I have a spare. So there's the spare. Just a little out of the incentive. Nothing wrong with a Bofang. But, you know, when you have an ID 51, you want to hang on to it, lest you have to resort to something a little less technically enhanced. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go ahead and get to the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline while I try to figure out how to program this thing. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2070, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. New Zealand has more than just the America's Cup to be proud of. The nation has its own first satellite, KiwiSat, and it's just about ready for prime time. It needs a few more team members to see the project through. And if you're in New Zealand, you can help.
The amateur radio satellite is at its staging point, ready to transport a payload of big hopes and dreams for New Zealand's ham community as the nation's first satellite. The on-again, off-again project has suffered from a variety of obstacles over the years, but AMSAT-ZL is hoping to get it into orbit at last. Organisers have been collecting names of KiwiSat members and other amateurs who have stepped forward to serve as launch coordinator or part of the support team working with the coordinator. There is already an engineering team prepared to move forward, so the priority for now has been to conduct environmental testing of KiwiSat and then tend to the details of launch timing, coordination and funding. The project has also been in search of a new leader of the engineering team who can take up the reins from Fred Kennedy's at L1BYP, who has stepped down due to medical issues. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
Does ham radio belong in a museum? Well, some kids in Tennessee would say yes, and not because amateur radio is a relic. The local children's museum is where radio comes alive for them.
Youngsters in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, who got on the air for ARRL Kids Day, had QSOs that were true museum-quality contacts. That's because the kids, who ranged in age from 4 to 11, were operating from inside the Children's Museum of Oak Ridge. Every third Sunday afternoon of the month, the Oak Ridge Amateur Radio Club hosts its Amateur Radio Outreach Day for the kids, and in June, that happened to coincide with ARRL's Kids Day on June 18. The youngsters learned and transmitted their names in Morse code, learned a little bit of radio science, and then keyed their mics and got on the air. The event took place in the museum's Discovery Lab, a great place for kids to discover the magic of radio. Jim Bogard, KY4L, said the museum and the Amateur Radio Club have a long-standing relationship with one another and recently signed a memorandum of understanding that may eventually lead to a permanent amateur radio exhibit at the museum. Jim said the concept would include an operating amateur radio station as well as equipment used during World War II when Oak Ridge was founded during the Manhattan Project. Meanwhile, he said the museum and the Ham Club are looking forward to the next Amateur Radio Outreach Day for youngsters, which will be Sunday, July 16th. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
What's happening in radio scouting? Well, there's barely a month left until the National Scout Jamboree, and Jim Wilson, K5ND, president of the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, is here with a preview.
Our overall goal is to provide scouts exposure to amateur radio, explain what it is, how it is relevant to them, and provide an opportunity to try as many aspects of the hobby as possible within the constraints of the Jamboree. We're not selling amateur radio, but we are sharing it with a sincere hope that many will be favorably impressed or at least better informed. Ideally, a few will pursue it as a hobby or even as an inspiration for a career option. Our targets for amateur radio demonstrations are 10% of Jamboree participants. That's about 3,000. Radio Merit Badge, our target is 400 scouts. And ARDF Fox Hunting, we hope to see 100 teams compete in the course. We also will be operating a special event station with many amateur radio operators across the country and around the world seeking to make a contact with K2BSA. Propagation willing, we hope to provide that opportunity.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF, Mike Askins, KE5CXP, Jim Wilson, K5ND, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right, and we don't have anything from Dr. Scove tonight. She just getting back from vacation, so we'll check in with her next week and see if we can see what's going on with the solar report. I did, however, I went outside and I looked up and I saw the sun. And I said, well, there it is. So there's your solar report tonight. And then hello to everybody listening on the shortwave tonight, WTWW 5085 and 12.105 from Tennessee tonight. Ted Randall and family doing their best to keep that thing on the air. And great people, great station. So you can hear Amateur Radio Newsline on WTWW numerous times of the day. So if you ever miss it on your favorite repeater, or you don't feel like going online to grab it at Newsline or arnewsline.org, you can hear it on WTWW several times a week. So we thank them for their support of what we do with Amateur Radio Newsline. We thank DX Engineering for their support of what we do here at Ham Nation. This episode of Ham Nation brought to you by the good folks at DX Engineering. The IARU HF Championship is this weekend, and if you want to be competitive, you got to count on DX Engineering to make sure you have the right gear so you can stay on top of the contest results. Make sure you grab a Heil headset. They're excellent. High quality, good stuff, lightweight, versatile headsets. They let you stay comfortable for hours of operating. Microphone elements that deliver excellent on-the-air clarity, and that's what Heil is known for. The Heil headsets are padded for comfort. They're built to survive years of heavy use. They also carry headsets from Prime Radio, another fine product. Prime Radio gear is the same equipment used in pro surveillance and government operations. They're durable, they're lightweight, they're ideal for contesting portable or MCOM operation. No matter which way you go, make sure you've got a good quality headset. It will make you very comfortable and you'll be able to hear the stuff that you will not be able to hear without a headset. And maybe it's time to upgrade your key. You're a CW op. Well, DX Engineering carries keys and paddles from Venture, Vibraplex, N3ZN, Kent, and MFJ. These keys and paddles are found in serious contesting stations all over the globe. They feature anvil-like reliability and precision operation. They're rugged enough for everyday use, yet their beauty and elegance makes them equally at home displayed on a bookcase. And of course, you want something to go underneath that paddle or key so it doesn't slide around your desk. Check out the DX Engineering Paddle Pad. It's like a mouse pad, specifically designed for your key or your paddle. Prevents it from sliding around your desk. Allows your wrist to maintain a comfortable angle to cut down on the carpal tunnel. They have two sizes. There's one right there. They have two sizes at dxengineering.com, and they are specific. Don't just cut down an old mouse pad. Get you something that's nice, that you know is going to work and work well, and they've got it right there from DX Engineering. So treat yourself to something like that. Two sizes right there available. Also, don't forget the importance of a high-quality external speaker for your contest station. Yeah, we talked about headsets, but speakers are just as important, and the Phonema speakers deliver crisp, clean audio. It's critical for accurately copying and logging QSOs. A good-sounding speaker will also mitigate headaches and ear fatigue. The Phonema speakers have a modern aesthetic to complement high-performance contest stations, and DX Engineering also carries external speakers from Palstar, Icom, Kenwood, and Yaesu. No matter what you get from DX Engineering, you know it's going to be good, and you know you're going to get it quickly because DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern time are shipped the same day. Proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. You're going to love them. Great products, great folks, expert advice. Tim Duffy, one of the best DXers on the planet. Great guy, everybody there, just from Tim on down. You're going to love doing business with DX Engineering, and you're going to make a friend. You pick up the phone and call them up there, I guarantee it. Let's go check out and see what Val is doing, because Val is visiting another big-time contest station. Val, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm in a beautiful
Trivoli, Illinois. It's a very small town. I don't even think they're incorporated, are they? Okay. And I'm joined here with Craig, K9CT.
Say hello. Good evening. Yes, hello to everybody.
Craig's been licensed since 1967. He's very into DXing and contesting. He's on the DX Honor Roll. He's got 2,925 band countries worked. That's quite a bit. And in the challenge. And he set up an incredible superstation here. And we're going to show you a couple of pictures, if you will, Brian. And he's been doing a lot of D-Expeditions as well. What D-Expedition is this on?
That one, I believe, we're at Cocos Island.
Okay, the TI-9. So there he is on Cocos Island. And he kind of got started off back in college. If you want to show the next one, Brian, doing with your college club, correct?
Right. And actually, this is in 1973. Several of us went to W1AW. That's actually me operating a W1AW, the guy with the microphone and the hair.
I'm guessing there's bell bottoms down below that you can't see. I think there's a couple more there, Brian, if you want to show those two. Yeah, there you go.
That's actually at the college station when I was 21 years old in 1973.
And
field day? With my shirt off.
It's got to be a field day. There you go. Yeah. Hey, sex sells, right? There we go.
Right. I don't think we need.
Now here, you've been on quite a few D-Expeditions, many with Jerry, I know.
Yes.
Now, we've circled the ones that you've co-led, all those you've co-led. Now, the ones with stars were D-Expedition of the Year, right?
Right, yes.
And you've got one biggie coming up, right?
Yes, really looking forward to Beauvais. Actually, we're really deep into it already, even though it's in January and February of next year. We've got some great leadership. We got a team of 20, you know, experienced D-Expeditioners. And this doesn't happen overnight. So you have to get all the gear ready. And we've already got the computers purchased. I have to get them all programmed. We'll be programming all of the radios right here at this QTH and then shipping them to Atlanta. The whole team is going to meet in Atlanta. K4UEE is hosting a workshop for the whole team. And we're going to go over all the details and get everything shipped. Tested and shipped. I've already even tested 6-meter EME and the 2-meter EME setups from here. So we're getting ready.
So you're going to be on everything from EME all the way to 160.
That's correct.
A bunch of modes, all the bands.
Yes.
And it's pretty remote, as you guys can see on that map circled with the blue pin. The other pin, red pins, are where you've been so far. So about how long is it going to take you to get there?
Well, it's going to take us quite a while because we're going to be on a boat. So it's going to seem like forever after about a week. But we might have close to another week before we are actually on the island. But we've got a nice boat. We've actually, I understand, as of yesterday or the day before they signed the contract, with a very nice boat. So we should feel very safe. It'll hold two helicopters. We need a helicopter to get on the island. We're going to be actually putting our stations on the top of a glacier. So you got to be very careful and very safe because we don't want to lose anybody in a crevasse or anything like that. But we're going to be sleeping on ice. So we're going to be chilling in Beauvais.
Okay. Sleeping on ice. Okay, that's interesting. Now, let's kind of show some pictures from this incredible antenna farm we're at. And there's kind of an overview. What have you all got? You've got 13 towers, is that right?
Yes. In fact, we just added one a couple years ago to this group. The shack is to the right. And you can see it. There's a large building that's white, and that's kind of the antenna assembly building, and I store some things in there. And then there's a new shack just to the right of that. But all of the antennas that are close to the shack are to keep the attenuation losses down. So 160 is far away, 80, you know, as you get closer, then
it higher gets in the band, it's closer
VHF,
to the
shack. UHF, right. This is just a view to Europe that you saw. This is
an that one on the far left.
Yeah, that's an EME array. And then I have a tower trailer I set up for like NAQPs and SS contests and that sort of thing. That's the tower trailer. And then in the far, you can see the closest, the vertical one there is a VHF tower close to the shack. And behind that is a new crank up. That's one of the towers that you can crank up to 90 feet.
And
we
that's
use
a
that. Step IR antenna.
And here's a look at the contesting. You hold a lot of contests here, and that's just one side. We'll kind of give you a view of the shack when we go live, when we go back on us in a little bit here. But there's another setup just like that right behind those guys. So you can run four stations with a run and a search and pound. So literally eight stations going at once. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, you can do that. We've done multi-multi here, but generally we run what's called multi-two, which is, I know it's hard to believe this, but the left side of that picture, those two operators are actually one transmitter. They're interlocked. So what they do is they interleave contacts and the transmitters are locked out. So only one can transmit. So we enter the multi-two class so we can have two on at the same time on different bands. So the station is designed so that we can actually be doing in-band contesting and not interfere with each other.
So while one guy's on 20 running a frequency, the other guy's hitting search and pound stations on 20, right. But he has to time it perfectly so it locks it out automatically, right. So he can't transmit at the same time the run guy is transmitting. Right. So it's a lot involved there, and we're going to kind of show you some of the guts behind a lot of this.
Yeah, one comment about this picture, if you'll notice above the station, above the amplifiers, notice how few wires there are. That's part of the station automation, part of the equation. There's very few cables, very few controls. Everything is done as a client server. So when they're looking at their screen, all the antenna switching just follows the radio.
And here's a shot of what it looked like when you first set things up. And that's kind of an SO2R setup back in the day.
Yeah, that was an SO2R setup. And that's using the microham accessories and things like that, which I used quite a bit at that time. Those are Elecraft radios. But you can see all the wiring that you had to do. But this is now the simpler setup.
Now it's cleaned up, and if you go to the next one, yes. Now you can see what it looks like now all cleaned up.
Right, that's actually an SO2R setup in the back of a Flex 6700. It's very simple. The box on the top is actually for a special receiving antenna switch that I use for like on low bands like 160. But that's how simple it is now.
And so you can kind of see this here. We're going to kind of go live over here now. So hang on here. We're going to turn our cameras. All right, how we doing? Okay, so you can kind of see behind here, we've got all the rotors, right? You kind of want to kind of explain things here?
Yeah, actually, yes. I'll stand over here for a second. These are all the rotors and all the stepper controls, and you can see where all the antennas coming down here and then all of the lightning protection devices. And then all of these devices go into a USB hub, and up here is a computer that's used as a server. So everything is on a computer network. And then this is an antenna switch, which is a 12x4 switch. And then down here is a, can you see this? Yeah, over here is an antenna genius that's used for 8x2 switching, which I use for SO2R. These are high power filters. And then stack matches that allow me to combine antennas within the shack for different contests. So the point of all of this is everything is here. It's protected for lightning. And then everything ends here in a server. So I use software that allows me to automate the rest of the station.
Yeah, and so I'm going to try and get in here, see if we can come in on the screens here. But as you can see right here, you can control it, what band you're on. It automatically switches to the right bandpass filters. Up here is all your rotor controls. You can move everything right from your computer screen because it's all connected over there. So it makes it really simple.
Right. Everything's a client. So here's the radio, and it just follows the radio. So when an operator sits down here, they're really just focused on operating. They're watching the logging program. They're watching the stations and making sure they're logging accurate instead of worrying about things at 2 o'clock. Not reaching up, standing up, doing anything. They just focus. And then the operators take turns, so they'll switch, and then the next operator will sit down.
They can do everything right from the screen.
Right. And I tell you, an aside of this is by having everything on the screen like this, it allows you to do remote radio. So with the Flex allowing with remote, I can go home now to my house. This is not my house. This is a contest station. And I can just take this with me anywhere I go, and I can operate here. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah. So that's kind of a look here. I'll kind of give you a pan around here too, see if you can see this. And that's a new Flex amp up there. And you can kind of see, I'm going to spin us around here, see how good this goes. So we got more.
That's VHF.
That's all VHF here and EME.
Yeah, and then over here is EME.
EME is way over here. There's Jerry. And another station over there. So we got forced, and then we're full circle here. Yeah. So pretty cool setup. A lot of antennas, a lot of hardware, but it's pretty nice. Sorry, a little shaky there. And I think, did we show the clean? Yeah, we showed the clean. So next we want to talk about, you have something cool coming up for college stations, correct?
Well, we're going to try something. And, you know, there's a lot of people that like the NAQP contest. In fact, there's one coming up in just a couple of weeks, the NAQP Ready. And then in August, there's the phone and CW. And we're going to be announcing this, but we're going to have a collegiate championship that will be a contest within a contest. We're going to have it in January and have college stations compete against each other within that contest. So that we'll have college, well, this will, should attract young people because we're going to do online scoring. It'll be live scoring. It'll be 4 hours only. And we hope other contesters and hams will help their local colleges get on the air and participate in this, and we hope to get more young people involved in amateur radio contesting.
Now, any college stations out there want to learn more, what's the best place to figure out?
We'll actually put information on the ARRL Collegiate Facebook page, and I've got the information prepared. We just haven't released that yet. But it'll.
And there is an article coming up on this in
the National Contest Journal.
And speaking of contests, I know we got this weekend the IARU HF Championship that's coming up Saturday and Sunday. And that one, you actually, the multipliers are the zones. So you can work each other and the HQ stations. So it depends on the distance and continents and zones, whether you get 1, 3, or 5 points. But it's that one's a lot of fun. And it's phone and CW, mixed mode. So a lot of chance to work a lot of people. Also, not this weekend, but next weekend we have the NAQP Ready contest, but that won't be available for the collegiate yet. Gotcha. To January. Okay. And then at the end of the month, you IOTA chasers, there's the big IOTA contest July 29th and 30th. So so if you want to learn more about Craig Station, you have a website, don't you?
Yes. K9CT.us.
Thank you very much, Craig.
Yeah, thank you very much, thank
you. And I'm going to head over to you, Amanda.
Well, thank you. And before you let Craig go away, my first question is for him. First of all, which mode is better for VHF, UHF, DXing, FM or SSB?
Well, I would say SSB by far, but I got to tell you, this year has been amazing because the digital mode does have taken over almost all of DXing on the VHF bands. JT65A in particular has just taken 6 meters by storm. So you need to check that out. It's been spectacular. I have not seen so many ham stations on that mode and as many people operating as I have this year. So,
and I'm going to verify that because when I keep N3TUQ up and it shows 6 meter spots, and when I see something spotted from like my area going into Europe, I'll you can click on it and it's 9 out of 10 times it's JT65. So I'm going to have to get that installed, and I'll probably hopefully do a thing on how to do that for you guys. But I concur.
Yeah.
I would love that, Val, and I agree because I go on 6 meters and I'm looking around 5125 and I look on this wonderful 7600 that I have and I see the waterfall, and up there about 268 is where all the action is. It's a huge line that is just filled up, and I think it's all JT65, so that's pretty cool. Well, thanks, Craig. First, before I get into any other questions, I wanted to show this last week and I didn't have a chance. So you guys, this is what happens when you outfield day yourself. Right here. This is what happened. I don't know if any of you guys saw. I posted this on Facebook, and Katie's a very good sport. Thank you, Katie. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, the meth commercial, not even once. This is kind of like the before and after of field day. So, all right. Thank you, Brian. All right. One announcement. Monument, Colorado, we have a mega fest coming up this weekend. I'll be there. I hope to meet a lot of our fans out there. I'll be walking around, doing a little bit of shopping if possible, but mostly I'll just be out there to talk to everyone. So that's this Saturday in Monument, Colorado, 8 a.m. I think the door is open. Second thing, Gordo was talking about tropospheric ducting and how he had this way crazy opening out there in California. I want to talk about a little bit here in Colorado. We had a repeater system that has the same input tone as our output on our repeater system, and they were causing this huge loop on a repeater that was 325 miles away in Kansas. So same thing happened here, pretty crazy, and that was on UHF, by the way. And I was a witness to it because I was driving to work. I stopped at Starbucks, was going to work in the morning, saw another ham friend, got on the repeater and said, hey, hello. And then all of a sudden I heard my voice again. Hey, hello. Hey, hello. It was really the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. So we finally had to shut down our repeaters so that that was no longer happening until the opening closed. All right, let's move on to some questions. Ray, these are all going to be for you. First of all, Ray, are you going to the ham holiday in Oklahoma City this month?
No, I will not be. I'll not be able to make that one.
Oh, I think Don's going to be disappointed about that, too. Let's see. Next question for you. Are you going to Oshkosh as a radio guy or pilot? And if pilot, do you do much ham radio from the plane?
I'm going up there just as a radio guy and just a fan of airplanes. As much as I fly all the time, I don't get a chance to get my pilot license, but I got a lot of friends who do both ham radio as well as the piloting, so I'll probably hang out most of the time out in the Warbirds area.
Okay, well, very good. And it's really nice to have you on tonight. I can't believe George gave us like a 24-hour notice of this. I would have came up with so many other questions for you, but last one, and we weren't going to let you get out of the room without getting this thrown in your face. Any more news about the 7610? How's it coming along?
It's coming along. We're hoping that we get to see it at the end of August, beginning of September, and then I'll be back down here with George to go through it and play around with it.
That's great. And what are you guys going to be doing for amateur Largic TV? Are you guys just experimenting on some radios or playing some with some new modes? What are you going to be doing on there that we can catch?
Well, we're going to be wrapping up what we did for Field Day this year, which was a little different. We normally go camp out in the woods, but with a tropical storm coming through, it just didn't work out this year, Ray. We operated right here in the shack. So we got a little
chickens.
Bit of... Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to stay in an air-conditioned tent in a tropical storm. You know, you might run out of fuel and run out of air conditioning. But anyway, we're going to show a little of that, talk about a few other things. We did just release our first episode of Ham College on the general question pool. And I tell you, Ray, those questions on the general pool are a lot tougher than they were on the technician pool.
Yeah, they do kind of step it up each time, and when you got a good Elmer like Gordo to help you with the book, that always makes it easy. And then watching you and Tommy stumble through some of those and just watch the discovery occur, it's kind of fun to do that. So makes it easier to learn it.
Oh, I agree totally. And I don't know that I could pass the general or the extra again without taking some time to study up again. So I think a lot of us chat room, I'm sure you agree. Anyhow, that's all the questions I had tonight. Let me just go over where some of the nets are. We have the D-Star net on 14 Charlie. It's happening right now. I heard it in the background here. I'm about ready to go check in. And they have the DMR TAC 311 net going on. And on 20 meters, I do believe they're on 14 268. We have to be careful because a lot of the 13 colonies are still on the air, so it's a little bit tougher to find some frequencies out there. And check around 7192 for that 40-meter net if you don't have any storms in your area, which has been kind of brutal this last week or so. Other than that, Don, I know you are driving tonight, scary as that might be, but I think you've done an excellent job so far. Oh, there you are. I saw you through the camouflage. So it's over to you.
Well, thank you very much. You know, Oklahoma City is not that far from where you are. Are you going to make ham holiday?
No, I was invited to. I'm sorry. Somebody is knocking on my window. Go away. It's just Jeff. Yes, he is knocking on the window. I don't know what he's trying to tell me as a message. No, I was invited to go, but unfortunately, I could not. We have a rally that we're doing on Aries event on the weekend before and being away from the dogs for 48 hours that weekend and having grandparents watch. I can't ask them to do it again the next weekend.
Yeah.
So, and we have a lot of fires popping up here. So you guys, if I'm seriously gone next week, please understand. It's just, we answer to a lot of fires around here. So.
Sure.
Oh, Jeff wanted to say hi to radio. You guys say hi to radio.
Oh, there's radio. Hello, radio.
Hey, baby. Okay, that's all I have. Back
those
to you, Don.
Those ears. That's great. Amanda, thank you so much. What you do in the chat room is just amazing. You're a huge part of this show, and we couldn't do it without you. I wish that we had more time to do the chat room, but unfortunately, it's got to come at the end of the show. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any questions for you. So.
I know.
It's the nature of the beast. But we appreciate you you being here. And so hopefully we'll get Bob back next week, and we'll get the band back together, and we'll have more fun and everything else going on. So in the meantime, go out and get the rest of those 13 colony stations while you can. I got the full sweep, all 13 plus the two bonus, and I also worked the 70th anniversary of the Roswell UFO incident special event over the long 4th of July weekend. So I am a fat and happy boy. So with that, I will say good night for the crew here. For Ray and for Val and for I've blanked on where Val is. I am so sorry about that. There he is.
With
there,
Craig, K9CT Craig. In Trivoli, Illinois, near Craig, Peoria.
Craig. I'm so sorry, Craig. I can't remember my own name half the time. And George, we thank you, too. And there's Radio and Amanda and everybody else. So
Delta.
Oh, that's Delta. Oh, okay. I couldn't
yeah,
see her.
Yeah, that's Delta. It's okay.
Blocked by the mic. Blocked
hey,
by the mic.
Right. Oh, yeah. Smaller ears.
Yeah. Yes, no, the ears are not.
Very much so. All right. So for the entire Ham Nation crew, we're going to thank you so much for watching tonight, and we'll catch you again next week. Same bat time or same ham time, same ham channel. Let's say it like that. So from all of us, good night. 7-3. We'll see you next week.